This podcast is a presentation of UCTV.tv, University of California Television. Like what you learn? Help others discover UCTV podcasts by leaving a comment or rating in iTunes.
And the vascular approaches for PVD in younger patients, do they have a worse outcomes? This is not a title I created, but Joe suggested it, so I'll do my best since I have no disclosures here except to say that should I develop PAD in the next year, I will not be included anymore among those who had disease as young people. The definition of premature peripheral vascular disease can be quite variable, and this is an interesting review of the results of the National Health and Nutritional Survey that is from UCSF here from 2006. And it defined a cutoff of 60 years for those who will be called young and have premature vascular disease. And they found that it's rather uncommon to have peripheral vascular disease less than 60 years, and the incidence, or at least prevalence in the population, was 2.1% below 60 years, while it's about 12% in those over 60. And they did notice that the premature peripheral vascular disease is associated with coronary disease, hypertension, smoking, more interestingly, with elevated fibrinogen and homocysteine. We have known for a long time that atherosclerosis in the young is not really something that behaves similarly to atherosclerosis in the old patients. And this is a paper all the way back from my days as a resident and young attending, noticing that the patients with premature peripheral vascular disease have a virulent process that is associated with a high rate of recurrent and progressive disease. The cutoff age for where we should start calling patients having premature PVD is not really something that we have all agreed upon. And in multiple different papers, you will notice that the cutoff rate has been placed anywhere between 40 and 60 years. And I collected here six papers for you, and you can see that back in 1984, the cutoff was about 40. I like more the Chris Qualick paper because they cut it off at 60. If I was writing it, I'll probably cut it off at 70. But we all agree that there is a lot of poor outcomes after all types of interventions, mostly open lower extremity revascularization. And most of these patients with premature peripheral vascular disease are heavy smokers. And their behavior is that of multiple procedures, poor patency rates, and you can see here that the patency rates clearly at different time intervals here goes anywhere from 30 to 60%. They have a very high amputation rate for all comers, and you can see that the average there is between 20 and 40 to 50% amputation rate during the people period of observation. The survival rate is also rather low for patients of that age group. This is a review of the NISQIP data from 123 VAs that was published from Washington. And it reviewed data from 1995 to 2003 with nearly 15,000 infrainguinal bypass grafts. And you notice that for all comers, the acute graft failure, which is less than 30 days, is somewhere around 5%. But when they classified the acute failure rate by the age categories of the patients that had this procedure, it is quite clear that the younger the patient is, the higher the failure rate. And for those under 50, the acute failure rate is over 8%, and this was highly significant with an odds ratio of failure there of 2.2. So we all agree that this open revascularization of the limbs in younger patients does not typically carry very good results. But you will all say that we have been getting away from open revascularization of the lower extremities, and this is a review of the Medicare claim database from 1996 to 2006, and it actually shows that we have been witnessing a remarkable shift from bypasses, which are down 42% in this time frame, towards endovascular interventions, which have increased threefold. The interesting part of this review is that they noticed that the major amputation rate in the Medicare beneficiaries had dropped about 30% over that period of time, and the implication clearly that the more we are intervening with endovascular procedures and probably treating more and more patients, the amputation rate is slowing down. So what is the true effect of these endovascular interventions on the so-called young patient? Have they actually produced the same observation as we have noticed in the general population? There's really very little data that really exists, and this is going back all the way to 1995 with a review from South Carolina, and this is from the days where we used to do only PTA without placement of stents and only for iliac disease, and you will notice that their results were quite marginal. They only had about 70% clinical success rate in about 32 patients who are younger than 45. What is interesting here, and notice this is cumulative patency, this is not primary patency, so this is even after the multiple interventions, by 3 years, 71% are still open, but about 40% of the patients required at least a secondary PTA or bypass, and most of them in the first year with quite early failure of these endovascular interventions, and all of these were iliac patients. This is another review, again, of all iliac patients from Albany. Again, 42 patients, less than 50 years of age, that had iliac lesions. They had quite good success rate. Most of these were stented. But again, by 3 years, the patency rate, this is now the primary patency rate, is down to 65%. And you will notice that close to 30% of these patients have already had either a surgical or an endovascular reintervention in those first 2 years. This is the last review that I was able to find, and this is from 60 patients that are less than 50 years of age, again, all with iliac lesions. And although they had a relatively good earlier success rate of 93% for the immediate result, you will also notice that the primary patency at 5 years is down below 50%, which is significantly lower than what you would expect with type B iliac lesions that are stented. There was no comparison to older patients, and the 40 to 50-year-olds did the worst in this review. So a couple of years ago, one of our fellows, Dr. Ochoa Shar, came to me after one of our M&Ms where a patient was presented who was not yet 50 and had already had 22 procedures at three different hospitals to try and preserve his leg, and started only 2 years earlier with claudication and ended up with an above-knee amputation, and he was very interested to review our experience with this premature PVD. So him and Dr. Scher were responsible for this review. So they tried to evaluate all our patients and characterize the patients with premature PVD and compare their outcomes in different age group and assess the impact of the endovascular interventions in this patient population. This has already been published in the Journal of Vascular Surgery, so if you are, if I lull you to sleep, you can quickly go and read this in the September issue of the JVS. So this is a review from 2000 to 2008 and included all the patients who had lower extremity revascularization and were younger than 60 at the first time they ever had a procedure. And we stopped at this time frame because we had 200 patients with 290 limbs. We excluded all the patients that had a short follow-up or had incomplete records. To be able to get a little bit better handle on how they compare to the rest of our patients. A group of controlled aged more than 60 was selected from the same time period with comparable indications in terms of claudication and chronic limb ischemia. A comparable type of intervention, whether it was bypass or endovascular interventions, and they came up with 98 patients and 119 limbs. And they tried to divide the three groups into group A, which was less than 50 years, group B, 51 to 60, and group C, more than 60 years. And they went through a long process of identifying all the demographics, comorbidities, the usual, the procedures, the indications. And actually, the fellow reviewed every single arteriogram for these patients at their initial intervention with a classification of their disease level and severity. They followed the morbidity, mortality, the patency rates, and the limb salvage and survival. With our standard follow-up during this period of time, which included an ABI and duplex at 1, 3, and 6 months, and every 6 months thereafter. I will not go over this since I probably cannot even pronounce the tests that were used, but the statistician that we have assures me that they are appropriate. The three groups are presented here. With the number of limbs, clearly a lot of the patients had more than one limb involved and underwent interventions on both sides. The mean age is what you would expect, 45 for the first group, 56 for the second, and 73 for the third. There were almost the same distribution of males versus females, although there were fewer males in the younger group below 50 years of age. For the entire population in the study, about 44% were claudicants and 56% had chronic limb ischemia. In terms of comorbidities and the baseline characteristics, you will notice that the young patients under the age of 50, it will be quite expected that they will have more type 1 diabetes, but the older age group had more type 2 diabetes. For most of the other categories that we normally associate with peripheral vascular disease in terms of coronary artery disease, congestive heart failure, COPD, the older population actually had more prevalence of all those. And the only thing that was more frequent in the young was a hypercoagulable state that was denoted in 16% of the patients. Also, more of them were smokers compared to the older population. In terms of the indication for the intervention, it was fairly similar across the three groups. For the type of procedure that was done, more open surgical procedures were done on the young patients, although this was not statistically significant. The distribution of disease was more common than not aortoiliac in the younger patients and less tibioperoneal. And the severity of the particular lesion was probably more pronounced in the younger age group, with 58% of the lesions being type D and the TAS 2 score. In evaluating the primary patency, you will notice that the lowest group in terms of primary patency, with about 50% at 2 years, is the less than 50 years of age. With a multivariate model, the older you are, the less likelihood you are to lose your patency, your primary patency. Aspirin use was associated with a protective effect, and endovascular use was associated with a worsening effect. But in terms of primary patency, we tend to intervene on recurrent stenosis, and that will be one of the possible explanations why the primary patency may be lower in the endovascular group. But this is the breakdown of the primary patency only in the patients undergoing endovascular interventions. And again, the younger patients had the worst results, with only about 39% patency at 2 years. For the more important outcome of limb salvage rate, there was little difference between the three, but again, the worst group was the group that was less than 50 years, and the older you were, the lower the hazard ratio for loss of limb. When you again take the patients who only had endovascular interventions, there was a statistically significant difference between the three age groups, and again, the younger patients, less than 50, did the worst. Probably more significant from a clinical perspective is are the patients who show up with claudication first, rather than patients who we have not a whole lot of choice, but trying to salvage their limbs with the chronic limb ischemia. And for those claudicants that showed up for their first intervention, you will notice that the primary patency again is lowest in the patients who are less than 50. And there's a subgroup of those patients, 16% or 22 limbs, that converted from claudication to chronic limb ischemia with a mean time of only 22 months. And this is a fairly interesting group to actually ponder on and decide, are we really doing the right thing for these patients? About 15 of those limbs had an open surgical procedure and 7 an endovascular procedure. And 6 of them lost their legs to a major amputation during this time frame. Among the claudicants, the lower limb salvage rate at 2 years was, again, in the group A, which is the patients who are less than 50 years of age. In multiple multivariate models they constructed, again, age less than 50 kept coming up as a worse outcome predictor, both for limb loss and for loss of primary patency, although several other factors also predicted loss of primary patency, including endovascular revascularization, chronic limb ischemia on presentation, claudication progression to CLI, and fempop distribution of disease. And the younger patients had more reintervention. In terms of survival, of course, the older patients died first, but even the younger patients, less than 50, they only had an 89% survival rate at 3 years, which is considerably lower than what you would expect from the mortality rate that you would expect in the general population, which should be about 1.1% at 3 years. So nearly 11% of these people are dead by 3 years. So in conclusions, patients with peripheral arterial disease who are younger than 50 have a distinct risk profile. They have more hypercoagulable state. They are more smokers. Their outcome, whether they are treated by endovascular or open repair, remain inferior to the older patients. And the endovascular interventions in those young adults are associated with very high failure rate and high limb loss rate, more than we would like to admit to. The premature PVD patients with claudication are at risk for rapid progression to chronic limb ischemia after interventions, and that's why we try to avoid now the treatment of a lot of these young claudicants with any kind of interventions and try to limit it to patients with chronic limb ischemia. Thank you very much.
You've been listening to a podcast by University of California Television. For more information about this program or UCTV, visit us online at uctv.tv.